Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is wonderful to be with you this morning on this beautiful winter day. Y'all managed to get your clocks adjusted correctly and make it through that little bit of snow on the ground. We are a tough group, we Methodists. Nothing holds us back. It is great to have you with us this morning. It's also great if you managed to get online this morning. We're happy to have you with us this morning as well. My name is Loretta Job. I am a retired deacon who hangs out around here with all of you great folk doing mission and ministry together. This is a church, as you know, that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in a very big variety of ways, and you can find many of those on the insert card that you got in your bulletin as you walked in. Those connection cards are for you to fill out. Let us know that you're here, but also let us know what it is that you're interested in being a part of and how we might be able to connect you and serve you as you learn to know God and love God at this church. We also have prayer cards in the pews. They're bright yellow. This is a praying congregation, so if you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment to fill one of those cards out and we will get it to our prayer service people, our prayer group that meets on Thursday mornings. If you have not already found your way to Sunday school, I don't see any stray children wandering around, so I'm assuming that they're downstairs getting together with their teachers, and they're going to have a great time while we're here in worship today. I have a few announcements this morning, the first of which is about the saving the dates for summer camp, June 23rd to 29th, Vacation Bible School, July 30th to August 1st, and the Musical Theater Camp, August 5th to the 11th. You'll find more information on the website and in the bulletin. Contact Susan Kimball if you need more information. The Easter egg hunt is coming up. It is on March 16th, 10 a.m. here in Brighton, 1 p.m. in Whitmore Lake. Registration in advance is really requested so we can prepare for the right number of children in different age groups as they separate them out, so it isn't quite the chaos that it can be if we had all those kids together in one place. So please take note of that. Also coming up is Easter and Holy Week, starting on the 24th with Palm Sunday. Services as usual here at 9:30 and 11, 9:15 at Whitmore Lake. Monday, Thursday on the 28th of March, the Soliloquy of the 12 here at 7 p.m. at the Brighton campus. Good Friday services will be 12 p.m. at Whitmore Lake and 7 p.m. here at Brighton, and then Easter Sunday, 7:15 sunrise service, 9:15 Whitmore Lake, 9:30 here at Brighton, and 11 o'clock, and there'll be Sunday school. So there are cards available in the back. The ushers can help you find one if you do better with a written reminder. And lastly, the new Grief Together Living the Journey will begin on April 18th. It will run for 6 weeks. This is a time to gather with a small group for remembering and learning a little bit about remembering a loved one and learning a little bit about grief, connecting with others who have lost a loved one. It is a powerful time together, and people have commented that it has been really helpful. So I encourage you to contact either Pastor Lynn or myself if you are interested in being a part of this next group together. Those are all my announcements for this morning, and so I would ask you to please rise and join in our opening hymn, number 419, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Thank you. This is nice. They have the stand here adjusted for Lynn. It makes it perfect for me. Please let us join together now in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, through the news of war, we seek you. Through illness and tragedy, we seek you. In our prayers and songs, we seek you. Open our hearts to feel your presence and open our eyes to recognize that you are walking right beside us. Amen. Please be seated. Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 36. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them said, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I am indeed Pastor Lynn, and I am your associate pastor, and I only get to preach once in a while, so I'm really happy to be here with you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, as we gather together around your word, we pray that not only will we hear words, but that we will hear your voice beneath all of these words. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, a really interesting part of my work, at least interesting for me, as your associate pastor, is that I work with newer people. I go out, I reach out to them, I try to get to know them, I ask them questions, things like, what brought you here? What were you hoping to find? And lately, I've been hearing pretty consistently something that makes my heart smile. I've been hearing people say, "Your church feels right." They say, "People are kind to me there." They say, "They talk to me. They seemed interested in me." Well done. Well done, folks. But you know what? Their comments got me to thinking. What are any of us looking for when we come here? What on earth made you get up when there's snow out there? And besides that, you got an hour or less sleep. What are you looking for here? Do you come here expecting to find Jesus? Well, let's consider the case of the two disciples from Emmaus. On that first Easter Sunday, they were heading for home. They were heading away from the other disciples, and they certainly were not looking for Jesus. They thought Jesus was dead, but Jesus was looking for them. This couple, Cleopas and another person, they were part of a fair-sized group of women and men who chose to follow Jesus. They traveled with him. It wasn't just the 12 guys, you know. There was a whole group of people, and it was growing. The farther Jesus went, more people would want to follow him. They traveled with him. They listened to his words. They even shared their money or their food with the whole group. Some of the scholars who have studied this, they believe that that second person, the one that isn't named, that it may well have been a woman. Because very often in scripture and in lots of places, if there's somebody not named, it'll turn out to be a woman. Think of the Samaritan woman. Does anybody know her name? The woman at the well? Woman at the well, right? So, scripture doesn't tell us how these two people became disciples of Jesus, but we can imagine it. So I'm going to help you imagine it. Oh, hi there. Never mind. My name's not important. I'm just somebody who likes to help. Do what I can, you know. Cleopas and I, we've been together for about 30 years, maybe more. We live out in the country, only get into the big city once in a while when we need to sell a few things. You see, Cleopas, he's a farmer, and I do a bit of weaving, and folks tell me that I'm kind of good at it. We're mainly homebodies. We can trade his wheat for most things that we need right there in our own town. It's only when we need actual coins that, in order to like pay our taxes, they require coins. So then I get out my loom and I weave some really beautiful shawls, kind of like this one. You like this one? I weave those, and then we head to Jerusalem. Or sometimes we head to Galilee because Cleo has some cousins there, and we try to find people who will pay what my shawls are worth. Well, about a year ago or so, up near the lake, we happened upon Jesus. He was talking to, of all things, a group of women, and I found out that he had cured them of their sicknesses and their evil spirits. And when I saw that, I really wanted to go back and hear more. And Cleopas was agreeable. So the next day, there was Jesus again talking away. This time, he was talking about sowers, and the sowers were tossing seeds all over the place, and some of it was falling on paths, and some was falling in on rocky places, and some was falling on among thorns, and some of it fell on good soil. And Jesus said to them, "If you have ears to hear, listen, listen." And you know what? That spoke to Cleopas. And so we thought, maybe, just maybe, could this Jesus be the Messiah? The one that we've been hearing about? The one who is going to be the king of Israel? And maybe get those Romans out? That's what we've been hoping for and praying for. And so we started following him around. We became, some people called us disciples. Well, I don't know about that, but we followed him around because we wanted to hear more. And I would help with the cooking, and Cleo would help set up camp every evening. Now, mind you, we're just ordinary folk, but still, it seemed like Jesus kind of liked us. He would smile at us. He would lend a hand, you know. We're doing something, he'd come and help too. And he would thank us for our work. And it got so that I would go into town just to get some supplies, and I found myself just telling people, you got to come and hear this Jesus. You've got to come. You know, maybe Jesus will even do a miracle. You just never know. You ought to come. And they believed me and the other woman, and they came. Lots of them came. All right. They were not part of the 12. No, they weren't part of the 12 apostles that you can find listed in the scripture, but they most certainly were part of the ordinary disciples who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and who wanted to follow him. And so, when the day of crucifixion came, their hopes were dashed. And in those 3 days after Jesus died, all of the disciples, they stayed pretty close together. And on Sunday afternoon, two of them, Cleopas and the other disciple, they decided to leave. Now, why did they go? We don't know. Maybe it was just all too much. I think today is a day when we can all kind of understand what it's like when things are too much, can't we? There's just a lot of too much going on. And for them, it was all too much. Too much grief. Too much fear, like, is this going to happen to us too? Are we going to be crucified? Too much disillusionment. They had found hope, and now their hope was gone. Jesus was gone. They did not, they could not let themselves dare to believe the hints of resurrection that came from those women that went to the tomb in the morning. No, they could not. They left. Then they met a stranger on the road, a stranger who was looking for them, but they didn't know it. He took the time to walk with them all afternoon. He helped them to see that God is at work in the scripture, and God is at work today, and he showed them how to see a much, much bigger picture of who God is and of what God's love is about and who's included in that love. All the way back to Moses, he went through that with them. And that stranger, he seemed to know his scripture pretty well. He let them know they had been foolish being so slow to believe who Jesus really was, as had all the disciples, not just these two. But just because someone is foolish or broken does not mean they cannot learn, and it does not mean that they're hopeless. It does not mean that they can't be mended. So, starting at Moses, Jesus explained it all to them, what God really had been up to all along, and how the coming of Jesus and even his death was necessary for some much, much bigger plan. Now, when Gary and I were on vacation a couple weeks ago, we were down in Florida, and over in the Clearwater area, that's where we like to go, and we went to a museum in St. Petersburg, a glass museum that we had not noticed was there before. It's not big, but inside, there was one particular artist that just called out to me. It was a woman named Karen Lamonte, and she made kimonos, you know, a Japanese outfit. She made them out of clear glass, life-sized. And I'm looking at those, and I thought, oh my gosh, they're just incredible. I couldn't take my eyes off of them. And then they had a video running where she explained her work, and one of the things she said was that one of those kimonos, because after she'd formed them, then she would put them into an oven. Well, one of the kimonos broke in the oven. Now, if it was me, and if I was going to try to save it, I would get some super glue, right? Super glue it and hope nobody can see all those little cracks. But that is not what she did. What she did instead was she got some gold. She mixed it with shellac, and she used that as the glue to hold the pieces together. And the reason she did it is because that is actually a Japanese custom. When pottery breaks, they will use gold to fill in the cracks, and they believe that the vase that they fix that way, or the cup, they believe it is more beautiful because it has those threads of gold running through it. And so that's what she did. And it seems to me that when God starts working with us, it's kind of like that. God knows how to mend us in ways that make us better than we ever were before. God does not give up on us. God doesn't give up on our world, no matter how much we try to mess it up, and we are working at it, aren't we? God is always at work mending, but mending with gold. So when our broken parts do show, they may end up being beautiful and also useful to someone else who's broken in the way that you used to be. Certainly, when we are mended, we will be able to understand the pain and the brokenness of others, and maybe more openly welcome them into our life, into our home. As Jesus opened Scripture, the disciples were feeling their hearts strangely warmed. Maybe they were being mended and didn't know it because they still didn't recognize Jesus. Now, how does anyone know when they've found Christ? I remember there was a summer after my best friend died, and I was just grieving. I went on a silent retreat to an old Roman Catholic girls' school in Iowa. It was August. There was no air conditioning, and guess what the temperature was running? 100 degrees. So I like to say I sweated it out with God. It was there that I began to understand that God was more than willing to get involved in my life, to do some healing, and even point out a few hard truths that I didn't necessarily want to think about. But what God wanted from me was just one thing. God wanted me just to love God. That was it. So over time, I came to trust that when it's Jesus who's nudging me or pointing me to something, I can trust that. And sometimes I need to go in a new direction. So how can you know when you found Christ, whether it's for the first time or the 100th time or the 1,000th time? It might be in the music if you're in this place. And you might be singing along, and suddenly you're really singing those words. And sometimes you just feel these are the words you're supposed to hear from God. Or it might be in the message or in the scripture or in the prayers. If it's God, it will be about truth and it will be about love, and you can test it by looking for those fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and long-suffering. This church is a great place to find Christ. But the truth is that it's much more likely that Christ will find you. And maybe Christ will find you in the words of people who notice you and listen to you and see that you're there. Jesus was doing God's mending work as he opened the scriptures, and they felt their hearts burning. And this past week, I met a new friend, and they gave me a poem they had written, and they said I could share it with you as long as I didn't tell you who wrote it. So I will, and I won't. I'm going to share part of it. The poem's called Anything, and it's written through the eyes of Jesus. I saw what you did. I heard what you said. I was there. You can tell me anything. I know how it hurt. I know how you felt. Let it go. You can tell me anything. I designed you. I made you. Who knows you better than I? Every step I walked beside you, placed my spirit inside you. Walk with me. Talk with me. I see who you are, and I know who you were meant to be. Let me lead you. Clear the way for you. Let me guide you. Take my hand. Freedom awaits you when you trust. When you lay your burdens on me, you can tell me anything. My friends, Jesus is ready to walk with you and to talk with you and ready to mend whatever is in your heart. All you need to do is say it's okay. Amen.
You were blessed by the Word, born of the Spirit, called by the power divine. You were led by the light, washed in the water, marked by a sacred sign. You are part of the chosen people. You are children of Abraham. You were bought with a price, spared by a sorrow, saved by the blood of the Lamb. So what then does God require of you? Nothing in truth you cannot do. This alone your whole life through, but to walk in the way of the Lord. You were claimed by a cross, graced by a glory, loved by the Lord on high. You were fed by the faith, filled from the fountain, destined to testify. You are part of the chosen people. You are children of Abraham. You were bought by the price, spared by a sorrow, saved by the blood of the Lamb. You were blessed by the Holy Spirit, called by the power divine, washed with the living water, marked by a sign. You were born of the chosen people, children of Abraham, redeemed by a sacrifice and saved by the Lamb. So what will this God require of you? Nothing in truth.
So normally I take the second half of the week to mull over what I want to focus on in my prayer. Look at the scripture, you know, kind of get an idea of what my prayer is going to be about, and this week I thought of a story. So 4 years ago, I met a preschooler with a smile that reached her eyes, a belly laugh that was contagious, and a side eye that expressed all of her distrust and skepticism. I would visit in her classroom most Tuesdays and have great conversations with her, giggles, excitement. I would sit down on a cube chair. I could sit down that low at one time. And to get a good look in her eyes, and she had a rare genetic condition that made muscular control really hard. She was in a wheelchair. And communication was not verbal with her. As time went on, she was slowly learning to speak using computerized communication devices. This year, first grade. Her birthday, 8th birthday today. Her funeral was yesterday. So frankly, I didn't want to think about the scripture to come up with my prayer today. I wanted to just be this last week. So in my prayer today, I hope you will be with me. Let us join in prayer. Dear Lord, may each of us have a sweet Alice in our life. A person faced with challenges that seem insurmountable, but who shows every day a 1,000-watt smile that can only be described as the spirit of you here on earth. A relationship that you bring to our lives that is an example of the importance of connection, of making things count because time may be limited. Seeing the hardship that others go through, but the joy they feel in life, may it bring about a reflection in us as to what we should be thankful for. For there is always something to be thankful for. Dear Lord, I pray for all of us that in times of trial and sorrow that you will just be with us, that you will understand our loss for words and just accept us as we come to you. Whatever state we come to you, and allow us to just be. That you forgive us perhaps our temporary loss of faith or our wandering for however long it may happen. You forgive us our lack of understanding and potential harsh words spoken to you, for we are thankful that you are patient. We pray that you will help us to just be with those around us that are experiencing hardships, that are experiencing loss or grief, those that are experiencing illness or instability in life. Remind us that it is sometimes just our presence that is enough, that extending a hand of comfort can be so much more impactful than any words. Words that do come can seem shallow and useless. We are learning in this sermon series about encountering you, Jesus. The series is not called Talking to Jesus, but Encountering You, being with you in our successes and our failures. It can mean talking to you, thanking you, praising you, sharing with you, but you have given us so many more ways to encounter you. We only need to use all of our senses to encounter you. Fill us with your spirit during hardship, but also times of joy. Flood all of our senses with your spirit. Let our celebrations of success be full of glory to you and our lamentations surrounded by your loving arms of comfort. Give us the power to realize the sweetness in our lives before it is gone. And allow us the ability to celebrate the gifts of others in our life while they are still with us. As we enter a time of silent prayer, let's add to those special prayers for today's prayer quilt recipients. They are Chris Fleming and another child of God. So let's take a time to pray silently now. Now let's join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen.
As we prepare for our time of offering, I would invite the ushers to come forward. Just a couple of reminders today. It is UMCOR Sunday. UMCOR is United Methodist Committee on Relief. If you would like to make a special offering to UMCOR, please use one of the envelopes in the pew and just mark UMCOR on it, and we will make sure that it gets there. And also a reminder that the Easter offering this year, the special offering that will be taken on Easter Sunday, which you received envelopes in the mail possibly, or you'll find them in the pews, will go for the building maintenance fund. Thank you for your generosity and your support.
Dear Lord Jesus, you have given us the ultimate gift of your life, your love, and your mercy. In gratitude, we bring our humble offerings to the table of the Lord. Bless them and use them to build your kingdom. Amen.
So a little over a month ago, not very much more than that, I was talking with Vicki Dutcher, and we felt a nudging from God, and it was not an expected one. We got this idea to have a puzzle exchange so that people could have something to do in the winter, but also to help raise money for the Red Bird Mission van. That total van's going to cost $35,000. And in our little humble puzzle exchange, the puzzles were free. People brought them in all month and took them home, and we don't even know how many there were. But do you know how much money people donated because of the puzzle exchange? Thank you. $1,497. Thank you. And Pastor John tells me that other people have just been donating, and now I think we're up to $18,000 towards that $35,000. So that's great. And one last piece of good news. Every puzzle went somewhere except one. We've got one 2,000 piece that we can't figure out what to do with. They went, if there were leftovers, of which there are about 25, we gave them to some senior centers, and a bunch of them were sent to Africa because there were people there who wanted to do puzzles. I just wanted you to know all that. All right, my friends, God's Spirit is there walking with you, and you just have to open your eyes to see it. Go out this week and look for God, and you'll find him. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.